Okay, the boys say today's daf is Kuf Chof Dalid. We're holding three lines at the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara begins in Mosav Reb Yirmiya. Reb Yirmiya is asking Akasha on Reish Lakish. Now, what did Reish Lakish say? If you go back just for a short moment to Kuf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, the Gemara brought a Mishnah. The Mishnah is Mesechtes Kalim. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. Person had a talis that became Tomei, and he wants to be Metayer it. So talis shehizchul bo lekoyer, if he started tearing it to remove the Toma, kimin shenikra ruba shuv enechibra utahayra. All you have to do is roiv of the tear of this talis. Once you've gone past roiv, the talis is now considered to be tohoir. In a sense, parallel to the idea by klicheris, Wishvirasan zuhi taharasan. Here, when it comes to the talis, kriyasai hu taharasai. Of course, by klicheris, you don't have any other eights. By the talis, we have another eight, so we spoke about this briefly yesterday, about toivling in a mikvah. But clearly, the Mishnah in Masechtas Kalim says, if you've done a kriya of roiv, it is tohar. Now, getting to the Amid Beis, Amar Reish Lakish. This Reish Lakish is a jest, passed halfway down the Amud, said Reish Lakish Leishanu El Talis. That's only if you're talking about a talis, which is what we were talking about. Talis, of course, is made out of fabric. Therefore, once you've done roiv, even if after that you come and you re-stitch the part of the roiv that you have torn, it's never gonna be the same. Aval Oyer, but if you're talking about that the original begit was not a begit made out of fabric, like a talus, but it is made out of leather, then that's cholim. So Rashi explained cholim means the word chazak, it's strong. So even though you only have 49% left, that 49% is still keeps it strong, intact, as sholim as you can be. But moreover, when you eventually stitch it back together again, it's almost like chazra atara liyoshna, and it remains a very, very durable, strong beged. So therefore, the kriya is not going to help to remove the tumah according to Reish Lakish. So the Gemara now takes this idea of Reish Lakish, that something which is built out of strong materials, even if you go and break roiv of it, it still retains its tumah, and therefore adapts this not only for hilchos oyer, but also hilchos taka kli cheres, and specifically a tanur. And therefore we're going to ask now a kasha from another Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim on Reish Lakish. So Masa Rabbi Yirmiya, tanur shenitma. Now instead of having a talis or oyer that became tamei, we have a tanner. Tanner, as you know, is an oven that became tamei. Ketzim etar noisai. Now, since the tanurim in yesteryear were all made out of cheres, there's no way of toivling it, and therefore you'd have to go and break it. Shvirasan du tarasan. And in fact, that's what the Mishnah says. Ketzim etar noisai. How can you metar this tanner? Cholkoi lishloisha. You have to break it into three separate pieces. The goyris a tvela, and then remove all of the plaster. Rashi says tvela means plaster. Ad shehei ba'aretz, all the way down to the ground. In other words, the way they used to manufacture ovens in the good old days was, they had a tanner made out of cheres, and to keep it standing in one place, they would go and plaster it, and plaster it to the ground, so it would remain in one place. So now, why cholka l'shloisha? Says Rashi, because if you're only going to be cholik lishtayim into two pieces, by definition, one piece is going to be the roiv and one piece is going to be the miyot. Numamela, the miyot will be tohar, but the roiv is going to continue to be tamei. So therefore, break it up into three pieces. Of course, make sure that the three pieces are all more or less the same size. In other words, if you break it into three pieces and one is 51%, and the other two share the other 49%, you haven't accomplished anything. What we want is that each one of the three pieces should be roughly a third. So each one will be less than rife, and this will be an effective way of getting away the tumah. Remeir Aymer, You can go and leave the tanner basically intact. You do not need to go and take away the plaster. You don't have to have all the way down to the ground, but rather, we'll see in the Gemara shortly that when it comes to tanurim, the standard size in the good old days was a minimum of 4 tvachim. If you had 4 tvachim, then it was considered to be a tanner that had utility for purposes of both cooking and baking. Once it's smaller than that, you know, the pot almost doesn't fit in, or the amount of bread that you're trying to bake won't fit. It's got to be at least 4 tvachim or more. So says Rameir, I have another idea. If you want this tanner to be tohar, go inside the guts of the tanner and be mema'atzei mibefnim midalet tvachim. It should be less than 4 tvachim tall inside in the tanner, and once it's less than that, then it'll be tohar. So that's the machloikis Tanakama and Rameir. Tanakama says you have to do a major breakage. Says Rameir, no, just make sure that inside you make sure that it's less than 4 tvachim. The Zokimar, Abkimamayat lo midalid. However, once, in other words, we're being medayit now from Rameir to pose Akasha on Reish Lakish. Kimamayat lo midalid, miha tohar. Once it's less than 4, it now becomes tohar. Frey Timura, Amai, why do you say that? Lema hacholim v'koi. Since according to Rameir, you've left it intact. You have not removed the plaster. This tanner still is in the same place that it was before. Yes, you've reduced the inside to make it less than 4. But basically, you've kept it intact. So why isn't this similar to the case of the oil, where even though you've torn roiv of it, but because it's so strong, it still has its chashivus, and we don't say, this oil is no longer tameh, but rather we go and say that, so according to Reish Lakish said that an oil is different than a talus. By the talus, once you go and rip more than roiv, tohar. The gab of the oil, even if you rip more than roiv, it remains tameh. Here too, why does Rameir say it becomes tohar, since, if you will, roiv of the tanner is still intact, the whole thing, the plaster is still on, it's the same place, you've just done some modification, a modest modification inside, that's already enough. Why is that enough? According to Reish Lakish, it's hodr chol, it's cholim dekoi, it's still standing in its place, it should retain its halacha of tumah. So Amar Leilav,
what's the problem? Reish Lakish couldn't speak. Reish Lakish couldn't speak like the time they taught me, so...
Okay, so let's continue on. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, Amalei Rava, the Eima Midrabanan Goris Etzveil Atchei Ba'aretz. Instead of saying that it's Shver on Reish Lakish from Rameir, why don't you go and say a Raya to Reish Lakish from the Tanakama? Is this what you were asking, Barry?
Exactly.
So look at the way...
I was thinking more that there's no... it's the same thing, yeah.
If you want to look at the Rashi, second line from the top, Ve'ima midrabanan, says Rashi, Barry asks, Ad Moises lay midrameir, instead of asking Kashra Rameir, say midrabanan, bring a right for the rabban. The rabbanan taka say, you want to go and destroy this tana, you got to taka and destroy it. You got to go and break it up into 3 pieces, remove all the plaster, make it in such a way that this tana is no longer usable, because if it has any utility, it would be like the oil that is cholim. So instead of asking Kashis on Reish Lakish, Reb Shlakish, we got a riot to you from the Rabbanon. And that's what we could have stopped with at that point. But Rava wants to go one step further. Ella Omer Rava, I don't even have to say that Reish Lakish's halacha is totally in the machloikis between Rabban and Rameir, but rather I could say that Reish Lakish even shtims loit Rameir. How is that? Because Hachi Ka'amat, I'm going to reread the Mishnah again. Tana shenitma, keitzim mitaren oisei. What do you need to do to mitare this tana? Divri akoil. Divri akoil means both the tana kama and Rameir agree. What you have to do is cholka l'shloisha, divide it up into 3 pieces, so you don't have a roiv in any one of the 3. V'goriz etzvela shehei ba'aret. Even Rameir agrees to this. Word for word, like we have the tana kama. So what's the machloikis? what happens if you want that a person should do preventive medicine so that this tanner should not be able to become tamei? Okay, so the way, so what should you do? Says the Tanna Kamma, the only way that you can prevent a tanner from being tamei is if you don't make it into a proper tanner, which means chokal ishloshi, regardless of trela, sheba oretz. Otherwise, any normal tanner that you go and normal size, you plaster it, you leave it in place, it will only become tohor if you do that major surgery of chokal ishloshi, regardless of trela. And therefore, there really is no preventive medicine for your normal, regular tanner. However, a mayor, oh, maybe there is. Once you reduce this, the opening of the tana to less than four tzvachim, it no longer has the status of a tana. If you skip ahead just one line, you see the Gemara brings from another Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, tana tchilo asei arba, the standard size of a tana, so that it should have utility for cooking and baking, was four tzvachim. So therefore, says Reb Meir, you want to prevent your tana from becoming tamei, just make it into 3.5 tvachim, 3.9 tvachim. It's no longer considered to be a tana with utility because it's just so small. And so therefore, that's a way to prevent it from becoming tamei. It also may prevent you from ever using the tana because it's so small. But nevertheless, that's the way to prevent it. So we no longer have a kasha mishlokish because everybody could stimulate Rish Lakish, or Rish Lakish is saying that long as it's still strong, like the or which is cholim, the tumah does not go away. Here too, everybody agrees that the tumah will not go away from this tanner until you do a major destructive action of dividing the tanner into three and goes a tzvela until the ground. Omamat, let's go now. Now that we've answered the, I'm sorry.
The Shai's asking about the tumor of Achnai, which is the rings like a snake.
Right, so they're also, you said, the question was his tummy or child, or did they just say it was...
We have to get some chubra karka or not, because when it was being used, it was plastered and attached to the ground. Here it doesn't feel like it's affixed to the ground.
I thought that it was just
a
separate.
It was portable.
The Tanner Shel Achnai was different than your normal Tanner in that it was like a Lego Tanner. Lego meaning that you put together the pieces to make the Tanner out of it. And one of the pieces became Tamei. The question is, do you then deem the entire Tanner Tamei since you were able to go and undo it on a regular basis? Detach all the pieces. All the pieces just kind of fit one within the other. And now you were able to remove one piece from the other. Did you say that the whole tana is considered to be one entity and part of it becomes tummy? The whole thing is tummy or only that piece. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. Omamai. Now that we've enfit Reish Lakish, Gemara now examines a little bit further this halach of the Tanner from here until the Mishnah, as you will see. Tanner tchilose arba v'shiyorev arba divre meir. Chum oimrim b'medvar mamurim b'godol. What is this all about? As we said before, the standard size of tanurim was four tvach. So tana tchilasi arba. When it starts off, it's a goiva, a height of four. Less than four, if you're starting off with a tana less than four, apparently the Gemara holds, this Mishnah holds, it's not even mekabel tumah. Why? Because it's not roi to be a normal tana. The shiur of arba, what happens if you started with something even greater than four? It was five tvachim, six tvachim, lemushel, and it became tamei. If you want now to go and break it, you have to make it break so that you have no part of the tanner which is larger than four. So when it says shiur of arba, it means that you want, if it became tamei, and you want to go and remove the tumah, make sure that the shirayim, whatever is left over, is less than four tvachim tall. The Gemara is going to ask shortly, isn't this a stira with the Mishnah that we just had now that says that the ikar is splitting it up into three pieces? Here we're saying the ikar is that it should be less than four tvachim tall from the ground, or at least four tvachim utility inside the oven. Divrei Remeir. This, of course, is similar to the Remeir that we just had a moment ago. That Remeir says once you are shoyim matir b'mifnim pochis b'dalet tvachim, then it loses its shame tanur, and that's why it becomes tar. That's when you're talking about your normal standard size of tanurim, which are four tvachim and more. Avokotin, if you're talking about a small tanur. Now, why would the tanur be small? Says Rashi, you did it letinoikos. You did it for kinderlich, for children. Especially tinoikos. I don't know if it's dafka, lashon nekeva. You don't normally see the word tinoikim. But and as you know, children like to go and mimic what the adults do. So the mother, I'm sorry, you have something to say? So normally, okay. So normally, the mommy in the house is cooking and baking. So the children want to do the same thing. They also want to do cooking and baking. So we make for them these mini tanurim, which are all of one tefach. Think of one tefach being 4 inches. You realize you really can't do a lot of baking or cooking in that. But nevertheless, for the tanoi guys, it's wonderful. They can show off that they have a tanur and they're baking and they're cooking and all that. It's a hot plate. Okay, it's not a hot plate. You start off not with 4 tvachim, even a kosher. The Gemara is going to say in a moment the kosher means a tefach. And it has to be a finished product, because whenever they made a tanner, they would always go and do a last burning through or heating up of the tanner before it was sold or used for purposes of a tanner. So you have to have tchilasa kosher, that shear of the kosher. And Mishnah Malachtoi, when it's fully baked, fully done. And the loch is Shiar Berubai. On the surface, Shiar Berubai sounds like it's attached to this last halacha in the Mishnah of the Koshuhu, and it's saying that when does it retain its tumma if the Shirayim is the roiv of that Koshuhu? And the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, that's ridiculous, that the whole Koshuhu is only a tefach, roiv of a tefach, a half a tefach, 3/4 of a tefach, is worthless. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. Anyway, the Kama Koshu, we just finished off with it. I'm sorry, once again?
This contradiction of the Mishnah that is less than 4 tefachim, you cannot get tamim.
What this Mishnah is doing, it's not contradicting the other Mishnah. What it's saying is that the two standard sizes, your normal standard size of a tanner is 4 tefachim, and therefore make sure that it doesn't get tamei, and if it gets tamei, break it so that the space is less than 4 tvachim, which is consistent with what Remeir said before. Make sure it's less than the 4 tvachim. Masha'enkin Chacham say, I agree with you by a standard normal tanur that's 4 tvachim. However, there's also these mini tanurim which are used by the kinderlich, and those tanurim are the size of a koshu, which the Gemara is going to explain momentarily means the shear of a tefach. And there, you have the same type of considerations. That as long as it's tar, it's tar. But if it becomes tameh, then you have to go and make it less than that tefach, which at which point, the time is basically worthless. But again, since it's being used by children, so the children will figure out some way to use it, even if it's less than a tefach. Anyway, so continuing on this Mishnah, the Kama Koshu, the Mishnah said that by a taner katan, Tchilasa koshu. What's the shear of koshu? Ami dvei Rabbi Yanai tefach. The shear is a tefach. Shekein oisim tanurim benois tefach. The way you could learn pshat in this Rabbi Yanai, dvei Rabbi Yanai, when he says that they make tanurim benois tefach, that there are tanurim that you can buy which are the size of a tefach. However, Rashi here is silent on the definition of benois tefach. But in Masechtas Nida, where the same Gemara appears, there Rashi says, Benois Tefach means, Shken Ois and Tanurim, on behalf of the Bonois, on behalf of the young girls who are playing and playing house or playing mommy, and they are also doing their cooking and baking, their Tanurim are the size of a Tefach. So the Benois is not modifying the word Tefach, the size of Tefach, but rather it's telling us that that's the age of an individual that would use a tanner of a tefach. There's a banois, the kleine kinderlich, like Rashi says over here, to noikos, tchilasa mekoshu. I have a Likutei Rashi. I'm not sure you have the Likutei Rashi on the side. I have a Likutei Rashi.
Yes.
Okay. You see, it says Tanurim Bonois. It's about seven, eight lines in. It says Rashi Tanurim Bonois Neorois Ktanois. Young girls Oisin Tanurim Masachi. They go and make a tanur for play. So when they're playing house, they go and make these Tanurim Bonois Tefach. Anyway.
But the Gemara assumes that they really light the fire for a little kid.
I don't know if they actually light the fire, but at least they go through the drill where they go and probably put together a small cup and they put into it something and they make a mixture and they put it into the tanner.
It's a toy.
It's a toy, exactly. It's a toy tanner. Toy tanner. Whether it seems that it's functional, because otherwise why would he even be talking about it? But apparently it does function as a tanner, but fits the kindler. Anyway, but continuing on. Continuing the Gemara. The ikkar that we're asking now is a stira. The stira is the Gemara quoted, Omar Mar Choker V'Shloisha. To remove the tumah, you got to break it into three portions, each one less than the roif. So that then the tumah goes away. And of course, you also had to remove the tefillah, the plaster, but we're now focusing on sizes and dimensions. So Gemara says here, in this Mishnah that we just quoted, now these are both Mishnayis and Masechtas Kelim. Here it says that the Iker is that if the Tanner was Tchilosei Arba, which is a standard size, then how do you remove the Tuma? Make sure that it's no longer Shirayim of Arba, because if it's Shirayim of Arba, it still retains the Tuma. Says you were Tama the Iker Shiar of Dalit, Holek Shiar of Dalit. Once you've broken it so that the height is no longer a height of four Tvachim, then it's Tahar. So the question is, by Unz we said the Iker is divide it up and break it into three segments, three pieces. Here it says that the Iker is make sure that no segment is more than four Tvachim. It's got to be less than the four Tvachim. So there seems to be an inconsistency. What is the most important? Breaking it into three pieces or making sure that it's no longer four Tvachim tall. And anymore, it's not inconsistent. It really depends how you break it. Hosam de tzalki mit mitzlik, hocha di avde gistra. Tzalki mitzlik means that you did a great job in breaking it. By doing it, says Rashi, l'rochboi. L'rochboi means, of course, horizontally. What's the benefit of breaking it horizontally? Says Rashi, shuv einoi oimed yofa. It no longer has a good place. It's no longer standing erect and firm. In that case, then what you have to do is just make it less than four tefachim. It doesn't have to be that you break it into three pieces. Once it's less than four tefachim, and since you have now cut it horizontally, says Rashi, shuv einoi oimed yofa, it no longer stands properly. Because if somebody passes by and pushes, and he's carrying a box and he doesn't realize what he's doing, he might push off the whole top of the tanner, it's going to fall to the ground. So it no longer has that firm, erect status and standing that it had before, and that's enough to make it tahar. On the other hand, what happens if it's av de gistra? Gistra says Rashi that he broke it not horizontally, but vertically. Oh, in such a case, since you've kept it four tvachim tall, to be able to go and cause it to become tahar, then make sure you divide into three separate pieces. Because if you divide it in two pieces, those two pieces could stay together as one for an extended period of time, even though you've taka cut it down the middle. But they are still standing. It's not a horizontal cut, it's a vertical cut. So theoretically, this could still last for a while. Oh, if you break it into three pieces, then it's already considered to be vatul mavutul, because now even one piece is a shear of rife. Omaman, Shiora Berubai. That was at the tail end of the Mishnah, right after we talked about the Tanner cotton kol shehu. We said Shiora means if you broke it, then if it's still roiv, it still retains tuma. Frey Timara, Omaman, Shiora Berubai. Rubai to tefach, lemaihava. The ganze Tanner is one tefach. It's a play toy for the girls. I ask you, Mela, one tefach I could probably squeeze in, twice a half of an apple, and bake the apple, so to speak, in the oven. See, you could do something with it. But if you're talking about roiv of a tefach, we normally consider to be 4 inches, Roy, that would mean it's 2.5 inches, 3 inches. What can you do in 2.5, 3 inches? You can barely put your fingers in. So Ibazai, what would it be Roy for that you're saying if you still have the Roy intact, it's still Tameh? It's a Chagunish. Omer Abai. Abai says, you're absolutely right. And when it said over there in the Mishnah, Shiara Barubai, it wasn't referring to the Sefer about the Katan. It's referring back to the Gadol. And therefore it's saying, Shiara Gadol Barubai. That when do we say that the Tana retains its Tumah if it's still Roiv in existence? So now we're talking about the Roiv, the big guy. The big guy, we said, remember, was Tana Tchilosei Arba'a. So that you have to make sure the shiarev are, if it's shiarev berubai, it retains the tumah. If the shiraim are less than rubai, it no longer retains the tumah. Frek timara v'amri rabbanan arba. I'm kind of getting mixed up over here because the Mishnah at the beginning said tanat chilase arba shiarev arba, that when does it retain its tumah? When the shiraim are arba. Once it's less than above, it's only 3.9, then you're okay. So the ikr is, make sure the shiraim are not arba. Once they're arba, it's still tameh. And now you're telling me at the end of this Mishnah, shiara berubai, that the shir is roiv. So which one is it? Is the shir of arba or the shir of roiv? Which one is it? Now, you might say that Mishnah began, it was Rameir. Tana tchilase arba v'shiara of arba. Divri Rameir. And the Mishnah ends off Shiar Berubai, but that was really the Chachamim speaking. Yet, but bear in mind, once we're saying that Shiar Berubai goes on the Gadol, the Chachamim agree by the Gadol, because right after Rameir it says the Chachamim Oimim Bemed Vom Amurim BeGadol. I agree with you, Rameir, by Gadol the Shiar is Shiar of Arba'a. But we talk about a Katan, then it's even a Kosher, even a Tefach. But the Shiar Berubai is going back on the Gadol. So make up your mind. Is it a shear of arba'a or less than arba'a, or is the shear a shear of roif? And the Gemara says, like kasher. It's really not shver. It depends on how large the tana was originally. Even though the standard minimum size we said was 4 tvachim, there were tanurim which were larger. After all, if you have a family, k'nai nahara, of 5, 10, 20 children, or whatever it happens to be, then you need obviously a larger tana. And if you're a tana for a yeshiva, a school, a chasana hall or something, then obviously you need a larger tanur. So therefore it really depends on how you started off. Ha betanur bar tisha, ha betanur bar shiva. Was the tanur originally 9 tvachim, or was it originally 7 tvachim? So what's the difference between the 9 and the 7? So if you look at the Rashi, ha amri rabbanan dalit, ha amri rabbanan dalit is just past halfway down the Rashi's, about 6-7 lines above where we are in the Gemara. Says Gemara, how can you go and say Baroi Vam Rabbanit Bedalit? Diktani Bemedvamon Begodl. Alma Bain Atchilase Bain Ashiyar of Moidele Rameir Begodl. The Chum agreed to Rameir by Godl that the Shir is Shirayim of 4. Says Gemara, when is the Shirayim of 4? Betanura Bar Shiva Kaamri Dalit. The whole Tanur is 7. And therefore it says that if it's more than 4, it retains its tumah. Now explains Rashi. Hol verubai botzer midalit hu, since roiv is less than dalit. In other words, what's roiv of 7? Roiv of 7, 4 obviously is roiv of 7. But even 3.6 is roiv of 7. 3.7 is roiv of 7, right? 3.6 times 2 gets you to 7.2. So half of 7 is 3.5. Once you're above 3.5, 3.6, 3.7, you have the roiv. So then, loy metaminen lay berubai to lay chamiri shiar of mitchilosai. So in such a case, that's when I say that the shear is a shear of dalit. That if it's still 4, it retains its tumah. Once it goes below the 4, 3.9, 3.8, guess what? Already at that point, it's no longer tameh. You don't need the roiv, even though you still have the roiv. Right, you still have 3.6, 3.7, 3.9. So l'choira, if you're going basaroiv, it should be tameh. The Mishnah is telling you a kula. No, as long as you're below 4, even though you still retain roiv of the 7, it's no longer tameh. So that's the shear of the 4. Just make it sure that it's less than 4, 3.9, 3.8. But I still have right. It's tohar, no problem. Going now to the next Rashi. V'hadiktani rubai betaner bar tisha. When we said right, we're talking about a taner that was originally 9 tfach. The avagav de bechetzioi ik arba. What happens if you take now half of 9? Half of 9 gets you to roughly 4.5. Clearly that 4.5 is more than 4. So even though bechetzioi ik arba loy mitame adahavi ruba, when will it retain its tuma? Only if it's roiv of that tisha, which means it's got to be at least more than 4.5. Only then, if it's 4.4, tahoy rabbi yisai, it's already two. Yeah, but it's more than 4, because we're going bahar rabbanim lekula. Each time we're trying to find a kula. So in the case of the 7, we're saying as long as it's less than 4, even though you have roiv, it's already tahar. And by the 9, even though it happens to be that you have more than 4, it's still tar as long as it's less than roiv, less than 4.5. So the two mishnayos are now consistent and everything is great. Now lishnachrit, we start off with a second lashon, which is a little bit different than what we learned yesterday. Now we didn't quote this part of what we learned yesterday. We should go back just for a short moment. If you go back again to kuf chav gimel amid beis, halfway down the amud, the line begins Omer Avhuna Mishum Reb Shimon. It's not really Reb Shimon, it's really Reb Yishmol, Reb Yoisi Loishano. Again, we're talking about that you started off with a talis and you tore it, and we said as long as you tore it roiv, then it's tohar. It says Avhuna Mishum Reb Yoisi Loishano Shloi Shaya Bakdei Mafayris, that the miut that was left over was not large enough Kdei Mafayris. Rashi said Mafayris means a sudr. Sudr we usually translate like a handkerchief. So if you had less than a handkerchief left, then it's tohar. If, however, you tore roiv, but the mixus that was left over was still a nice piece of cloth, you had a cloth, a tablecloth, which was 10 feet long, because you had a long table, 10 feet long, and then what happens? It became tameh, so you tore it, and now it's less than 5 feet, but that less than 5 feet, you could still make 1, 2, 3, 5 handkerchiefs out of it. So then, in such a case, it remains tummy. That's the first lashon that we had. Make sure we shayir bakidei mafayis. But getting back to our gemara now.
Why don't we always say, you know, we have the share for a bavya? 3 by 3. Why are we looking to hear? We're made called here to say that it's much larger share.
Mm-hmm. My forest is bigger than 3 by 3.
That's correct.
Right, okay. So
the Rashi brought this already yesterday. We touched upon it yesterday. We didn't discuss it at great length. But we had over there, let's see where else Rashi is going, where it says Be'izemel. Be'ishtet Be'izemel. Yeah. If you go to the Gemara further down, Eisvir of Yechon Rish Lakish. Again, on the Amid Beis. 5 lines further. Oyer tamei medris, the chishev alav l'rtzuois v'sandalim. It was an oyer, piece of leather, and it was a tamei medris. Somebody sat on him, he was tamei, it became tamei medris. If now he decided to go and change the character of this oyer by making it into r'tzuois v'sandalim, he was going to make shoes, leather shoes. Kibishinosim bo izemel, once you put the izemel to it, it becomes tar. Chomzer, it has to be less than 5 tvach. So now, back in the Rashi, on the first wide line down below, Shishinosim ba'izemel, says the next Rashi, next line, Shehizchel avatloi tiroi. Once you put your izemel to it, you're metired. Vav b'shadayin yesh begodol chamisha al chamisha tvachim, shein shir le'medris ar, even though what you have left over is more than 5 by 5. Kino amina besukah habeged shloisha al shloisha hasak dalet al dalet or hey al hey. Depending on the fabric, that's where you have to go and examine what is the minimum for purposes of having the status of a beged. So by a beged, if you start off with 3 by 3 tvachim, sak is 4 by 4 tvachim, or was 5 by 5 tvachim. So the different shiurim when you're talking about the different fabric of the different begodim. So now, in our situation,
doesn't the king to
I'm sorry?
Zach is a
sackcloth. It's an inferior fabric to carry things.
Yes.
Right. It's like burlap. It's inferior fabric. You wouldn't use it for clothing.
Yeah. Okay. But so therefore, that's why you have to have a larger piece for that. So getting back to our Gemara, so we had over here that you tore it, and now you tore it beroiv. So the original utility of this beged really has been damaged, because if you used it until now as a tablecloth, and you needed it because you had a 10-foot table, and that's why you had this large tablecloth, if more than half of it is torn, it's basically a goner, if you will. And therefore, said the Gemara, it's tahar. Says now, sure, that's dafke if it is the remaining part has less than a kedema foyeres, less than a handkerchief. But if it's more than a handkerchief, it still has chashivus, because you could use this tablecloth after all, not as a tablecloth, but you can use it now for handkerchiefs. So therefore, it still retains its status of tumah. That was the first lashon. Our Gemara today, Lishna Achrona, goes the other way around. It's 180 degrees around. Going back to our Gemara here on the Amud Aleph, Lishna Achrona, 5-6 lines before the wide lines. Amri lo, again, Amr Avuna Mishum Rishmol Barab Yoisi. It's same on the Amr. Afilu Shayim Bokadei Mafayris. Even though the piece that is remaining is still a large piece. Not only is it more than 3x3, 4x4, 5x5, it's even larger than a Kedei Mafayris for a handkerchief. Nevertheless, since Roiv of this Beged has been destroyed by your tearing it, it's now no longer the same Beged that was before. It loses its Tumma, and now it's taught. Now again, we have Reish Lakish, but this Reish Lakish is a little bit different than yesterday. Om Reish Lakish Leishonu Eletalis, Tumma Eletalis. Avul Oir is Choshev. If it happens to be an Oir, which of course is a thicker material, if you've left over Kedei Mafoiris, then it's a Dover Choshev. It doesn't use the term over here, Cholim, it just uses the term Choshev. Could be it's Choshev for the same reason, because it's a strong material. He uses over here the term choshev, and says Rashi, choshev v'loy bottle. It does not become bottle, no matter how large. You said it's talking about a filishaya b'kedei mafoidus. I disagree. If you have a mafoidus, which is the shear of a mafoidus, a sudur, a handkerchief, and it's made out of oir, that's a dover choshev, and then the tablecloth or this whole long oir does not become tohar. It still remains tamei. It makes no difference whether it's made out of fabric, made out of leather. Bottom line is, once you've done a kriya, as well as, even if it's shayer ba kedei mafoiris, it doesn't matter what fabric it's made out of, it's no longer tamei, it's now tor. So, Frank Dimari gets Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Eis for Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Or tamei medris. You start off with the or, which is tamei medris, that you had a zav, metzoida, a nida, etc., sat on it and became tummy medras. Chishev olav l'ritzu of a sandalim. You had in mind to go and cut it down. This is the same Mishnah that we were quoting a moment ago on the Amud Beis. You had in mind to go and change it from just a seat cover that you sit down on, and you're now going to go and try to make shoes out of it. As soon as you put your knife to it to cut it, then it's tahar. It's got to be less than 5x5. As Rashi quoted before, because the shear by big day R is 5x5. However, once it's less than 5, it becomes tar. Frey Timura, Amai. After all, Reish Lakish says that the Mishnah is only talking about talis. The other Mishnah about cutting it roiv. That's right. By R, it retains its chashivus. And yet, we see over here that the Chum say that once you memayit less than 5 tzvachim, it's tar. Amai, lema, choshev. According to Reish Lakish, you should go and say that by or, it retains its chashivus because of its thickness and doesn't become bottle. So if it's at least kedei mafoiris, it should be a dover choshev and it should not become tahar. It should remain bitumasai. Everything more, under normal circumstances, I would agree with you. This piece of or had been cut to size and was being used for a moishav zav, for a person to go and sit down on a chair. And therefore, that's how it became tamei medras, because the zav sat on. And therefore, in such a situation, I don't have in mind to go and cut it down to less than 5 tvachim. I want to leave it the way it is as my Moshe of Zav. So therefore, says the Gemara, in such a case, if you look at the Rashi right before the Mishnah, the Moshe of Zav, anything less than that shear is no longer ro'oi. So even though it happens to be oil, which is a tough material, which Reish Lakish says is a dover choshev, so even if you cut most of it, if you still have left over like a kedei mafoyres, it would still be tameh. How over here, once you mamayid it less than five tzvachim, it's already tahar? Because over here we're talking about that it had been miyuchad, set aside for Moshe Zav, and that was its size. Anything less than that, even under normal circumstances, says Reish Lakish, if it's oir, it retains its chashivas, but not over here. Because over here it was miyuchad for that purpose of Moshe Zav. Once it's you mamayid it less than that, even though it's made out of oir, it becomes tohar. It's no longer ro'oi for that mishkav and Moshe. Okay, on to new Mishnah.
Why does Zav has this needs this pieces or no? We're saying this was his chair. This was his chair cover. Why is Zav any person?
As you know, Dina Tumas Medris is a very chomer dikatuma because it has the status of an avatuma. Any person who is a Zav, a Metzora, a Nida, etc., sits on a piece of material, which of course it has to be miuchad for sitting. Otherwise, we have the famous expression. We say, don't sit down on there. Amoy benasa malachteinu. I need it for another purpose. Either for purpose. Person is sitting down on a milk crate, lamashal. So I would think, oh, if that person is a Zav, it becomes a Tumas Medris. But what happens if the milk carrier comes in and says, hey, mister, stand up. I need the milk crate because I have to now go and transfer milk containers from here to somewhere else. So you got to stand up because it's not miyuchad for purposes of sitting. So then it doesn't get the din of a medris. Here we're talking about...
Again, I'm tummy, though, right?
If a person whose tummy sits down on the milk cart, if it's not a milk cart, if it's a regular seat, then...
No, milk cart.
No cart, it was a regular seat. Regular seat.
Why is he to be metame out of Mekalim, you know?
The Zav himself is metame out of Mekalim.
No, right, so he's got metame this chair.
Absolutely, absolutely. And under normal...
One second,
my good friend, Brother Shai, one second. The person himself is an avatuma. He now sat down on that medras, meaning on that chair, or he laid down on a bed. Since the purpose of a chair and the purpose of a bed is for sitting and for lying on, they are now magically not only tamei rishon, they're an avatum. So that if somebody subsequently touches that chair or that bed, even though normally I would say, how does he become tamei? After all, a rishon is not metamei or the mekalim, only oichlun amashkin, because it wasn't a rishon. That the chiddush of medras is that it's the same status, just like the person himself or herself that sat down on that chair. But that's only if you're talking about a chair or the bed. If you're talking about a sat down on a milk crate, then avada the milk crate will become tamei, but it'll get a dimna tumas rishon. It'll be tamei only oichun amashkin, not odin v'kim. Okay.
Yes.
On to the next mishnah. A lot of this mishnah we've already.
One last question that I've been holding here. The whole argument we've been going on for the last, from the middle of Amud Beis, is the comparison of Begadim and Kalim Klicheres.
Okay, Klicheres.
Why is that? I mean, that's an analogy. The Gemara asserts, well, it why is that so? We said yesterday you could be mitahir a beged in a mikvah. Mm-hmm. You can't be mitahir klicheres. You have a pircha on the whole analogy, on the whole parallel.
Let me ask you: what happens if you took a kli shetef, for instance, a metal kli?
Right.
Or even better, you have a glass kli. Now, can you go and a glass that becomes tummy? Can you mitahir in a mikvah?
Well, it's been dropped. The zechuchas is been dropped anyway.
I'm sorry. Let's go.
The right stuff. So why is if something has a remedy in a mikvah, why are we using the extreme of shmira parallel from klicheres as a way of being mitahir? If you have another alternative, use the alternative. You don't use this extreme measure.
What happens if the person is a wealthy person? Why is he bothering going and trying to make this tanner tor? Why don't you just buy a new one?
He can mafker all his nechassim and become a poor person, and he can eat the mai.
The point is, cheres only has one remedy, and that's the shvira. All other kalim have multiple remedies. You can put them into the mikveh and they become tahar, sure. Or, if you don't have a mikveh available, or you don't want to wait until Harif Shemesh, you can also destroy those kalim. How do you destroy the kalim? In the case of a talis, you would tear it. You can go and take a metal kli and also go and bang on it enough times until it breaks into pieces. That will also become tahar, as long as whatever shards are left are not large enough to continue to act as a kli kibble. So this is not the only reason why we say that kli cheres is miyuchad, that shvirasan utarasan, means because that's the only way you can remedy it. You can put into the mikvah 101 times, it's not going to work. Other kalim and other begodim, you have other remedies too. You don't have to go and destroy it. But if you want to, you can. And if you destroy it, then it also becomes tahar. Okay?
Okay.
Look, the next Mishnah. A lot of the Mishnah we've already had since our Perek focused on oyer at the beginning of the Mishnah, beginning of the Perek, Lagabe acting as a conductor of Tumah V'Tahara. So a lot of what we're going to learn now in the Mishnah, we've already learned. Or Sheyesh Olav Kzayis Basar. What happens if you have an oyer, a piece of skin from the animal, and it has a Kzayis Basar on it? Now, how come there's a Kzayis Basar on it? You'll remember we spoke about in the Gemara yesterday and the day before, and the Gemara is going to address that as soon as we finish the Mishnah. Is it talking about that Kzayis Basar was because of Poltosei Chaya, that an animal grabbed and took a bite out of that animal, and so therefore you have some Basar Meduldo attached to the oyer, which presumably could have been fixed by putting on an ace bandage or the like, maybe putting on a splint or something like that. Or it could also be Poltosei Sakin, that the person who was flaying the animal left over pockets of meat here, there, and everywhere. So Or Sheyesh Olav Kzayis Basar, and the Kzayis Basar is B'mokim Echad, in one place, attached to the oyer. So Kzayis Basar is Choshev, not for Tumas Oichlin, but for Tumas Nevelis. So let's assume, therefore, that the animal was a nevela. There's a kazayis of basar there, but I'm not going to touch the basar. In fact, there's a big sign: don't touch the basar, you're going to become tameh because it's a nevela. But instead, I touched the outside of it, the other side, and I didn't even touch the oil, but I touched hanagia b'tziv. Tziv means a hair-like piece of meat. In other words, a shred of meat, which is sticking out, hayoytz mimenu, sticking out of that oil. Or besara, or even just a hair, which is sticking out of the oil. Shekineg, meaning that on the other side is the kazayis basar. Then it's that person who touched the hair, or touched the tziv, that shred of meat, becomes tameh. Now why does it become tameh? So we already said in the Gemara earlier, l'choyre, it's not much of a yad, because if you pull on it, it's going to go and break. There was one man, the Yama, that said, yeah, but it's Rabbi Blaz HaMedoy, I believe, that said that Malay Bein HaMalayim, if you have 20 hairs and you picked it up, it would hold. So even one hair has the status of a yad. But Rashi said we're really talking mitzad shoimer, and that the tziv or the sara on the other side is a shoimer. So even though we said that it doesn't do much shmira if it's only one hair, however, Chazal says in the Mefarshim that that tziv or that sara, if you will, together with the or, in a sense, fortify the or and make it even stronger as a shmira vis-a-vis the meat which is on the other side. And even though we said you're not allowed to have a, not you're not allowed to, but there's no such concept of shoimer al gabi shoimer, Rashi reminds us that the Gemara earlier said chilchule mechalchel, which means it's not that the sara is sticking out from the oyer, it's really the sara is sticking out from the meat beneath the oyer. It's almost an optical illusion. You think that it's growing for the oyer, it's growing for the meat, because they're tiny little hair follicles from which the sara, the hair, is extending from the meat below. So it's considered to be a shoimer. There's a shear of the kazayis and the nevela, and therefore it's machnis and moitzi tumma, and the person will now become tummy. But that's only because you had a kazayis basar together b'mokim echad. What happens on this large or hayu olav kishnei chatzoy zeisim? You had two half zeisim attached to it. In such a case, as a tanakam matambet b'masa, if you carried now that or with the two chatzoy zeisim attached to it, so you are carrying in effect a full zayis, even though they're located in different spots. Tamei v'loy b'maga, but not maga, because maga would mean that you're touching the pieces of meat, and here, of course, you're not touching the pieces of meat at all. You're touching the oil on the other side of the meat, and therefore it's kind of an additional step removed. And there are two chatzoi zeisim. So Rashi explains, as we'll see, Alibid Rabbi Kiva, that the oil is mevatel those two chatzoi zeisim. In the Rashi, we didn't say that the oil is mevatel because we had a full shear kezayis, but here we only have a chutzi shear. Chutzi shear becomes bottle to the oil. Rabbi Kiva goes one step further and says, not only is it not metambe mamaga, it's not even metambe masa, for the reason that we just gave, because of oir mevatla. And we'll see in the Gemara in the Amid Beis that Rabbi Shmuel learns from one pasuk and Rabbi Kiva learns from two psukim together, as we'll see. But even Rabbi Kiva, that said that it's totally tohir, this oir that has the two chatzoi zeisim attached to it, he's moida, that if it's sort of, instead of talking about an oir, talking about b'shnei chatzoi zeisim shetochvan b'kisei, you have two pieces of meat, not attached to an oir, just two pieces of meat. Each one of them is chutzi zayis, so on its own doesn't have a shear. But you attach them together with a kisei. Kisei literally means a splinter, like a toothpick. But lavdavki means with a small pole of sorts, that is putting the two together, holding the two together on one. Veisitan, and now you moved the pole. You didn't touch the two chatzoi zeisim, you pushed the pole, you moved it, shu tamei. Then you are tamei. Ubnei ma Rabbi Kiva mitar ba'or. How come here, by this kisem, he says it's tamei, which is two pieces connected together, the kisem is tamei. But the two pieces connected, which are not connected, but which are attached to the or, in that fashion, they're also connected. Why there does he say tohor? Neymar Rabbi Kiva mitar ba'or, menisha or mevatlan, because the oir is the overriding thing over here, and the pieces of meat which are attached to it, they become bottled to the oir as just extensions of the leather, of not of the leather, but of the skin of the animal. As Imor will explain momentarily, it depends on poltosi chai, poltosi sakin, omer ula omer b'yoychana, lo yishonu. When did we say in our Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel holds its metame? In fact, in the Reisha, by the Kazayis Basar, everybody holds that if the oir has tumma in it. The reason is Lashon Patosi Chaya, because the Chaya left behind as a shtickle of flesh attached to the oir. After the Chaya went and attacked the animal that day, next day, a week later, you went and shechted the animal. In this case, you didn't shecht it. Became an avela, because we're talking about tumas avela. So the animal died. And now you're flaying the animal. You're flaying the skin from the animal. And you discover on that flaying that there's a piece of meat which is attached to it, because the chaya took a bite and then ran away. And therefore, you have that piece which is still attached. That's when we say in the Mishnah that it's tamei. Abatosi sak in its bottle. However, if the reason why you have that kazayis, a meat attached to the oir, is because the potosi sakin, in other words, the flayer didn't do a great job and he left a full kazayis together in one spot, it becomes bottle. Now the Gemara considers this to be a tremendous chidush. If you're telling me that...
It's a full guy, it's a kazayis,
We're going on the ratio of the Mishnah. Or sheyesh olav kazayis basar.
Thank you.
A full kazayis. So what are we saying about that? The Mishnah said, even if you just touch the Sara, Tamei. You don't even touch the Or, you just touch the here, you become Tamei. It says, Ula Amar B'Yochanan, and something which is here raising. Lo Yishonu, it's only Potosi Chaya. Then it retains its Chashivas. But Potosi Sakin, since the flayer ignored it and left this Kizayev standing on one spot, it becomes bottle. And therefore, it is now Tohoir. And therefore the oil is no longer a conductor, nor is the tziv, nor the sara, a conductor of tuma, because that piece of meat is bottle ke'afra di'ar. Rabbi Nachman was very, very skeptical about that, because we're talking about a full kezayis, which is what was leading to Barry's question. Amli Rabbi Nachman to Ula, Amri Rabbi Yochanan afila ketarta. What happens if it's even more than a kezayis? It's a shear of a tarta. What's a tarta? Rashi has two pshatim. See Rashi five lines from the bottom. Either tarta is roiva kav, a quarter of a kav, which is equal to six bayim. It's like a half a dozen eggs. Much, much more. One egg is more than a kezayis. Six eggs is more than six kezayisim. Even that amount, where the Rashi has another pshat, the size of a kaf moznayim, like the cup on a side of the scale, which is also quite large, because you would put on that different weights on one side, and the other side you'd put your meat or you'd put your vegetables or whatever, and you would go and weigh it. So even that size, would you say that if it's still attached, because Paltosei Sakin, it's bottle amalein? Yes! That's what Ula said in the name of Yochanan to Rav Nachman. Then Rav Nachman says, I can't believe it. What would happen if the size of the piece of meat was like a sieve? We don't know exactly the size of the sieve was in the times of Chazal. A pound of meat. 2 pounds of meat. Would you say that's also bottled to the oil because the flayer, the skinner, left that behind? Amalei en. He said yes. Amalei, Rav Nachman said, it's impossible. Hu elikim. He swore in the name of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Im omali Rabbi Yochanan mipumei. If I'd hear Rabbi Yochanan himself say it, not you, Ula Am Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan himself would say it in front of me, lo tziyasnalei, I would say, Rabbi Yochanan, you may be the Godel Hador, but I cannot possibly fathom that you have 5 pounds of pot roast, of a French roast, because the flayer forgot to go and cut it off and he left it attached to the yard. It's bottle mavotel. How can that be? You're not a kezayis mamela, but a tarta, a ganze kenafia, like a sieve. It strains the mind to say something like that. And therefore, Rav Nachman was, in a sense, speaking with a little bit of guts, with a little bit of chutzpah, vis-a-vis Rabbi Yochanan. I only stress that because you'll see the continuation of the story. We're not finished yet. Now, the Gemara tells us, Kisolik Rav Oishia, traveled from Bavel, went up to Eretz Yisrael, and Ashkechel Rav Ami, he met Rav Ami there, and he repeated the Shtikul Torah. Rav Ami, when he greeted Rav Oishia, he said, no, maybe you have a Shtikul Torah to share with us. So, Amr L'Shmaita Kameh, and he now repeated what we just said, Hachi Amar Ula, that even if it was Kenafia, Rav Yochanan held its bottle to the Ur, V'hachi Ahadalei Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman answered, and he said, Hu Elikim, even if Rabbi Yochanan himself would say it, I would reject it. This is what he said to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami was quite upset. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, says Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yochanan, by uns, is the Godel Hador, the Poisek Hador. Just because Rabbi Nachman happens to be in a position of power in Bavel, he is the Chadban, which means he's the item of the Reish Kalusa, Mizalzu Bishmata to Rabbi Yochanan. He goes and makes Rabbi Yochanan Shmaita as a Ashem Blota, as a Gunish mit Gunish. Rabbi Yochanan is the great Godel Hador, who is Rav Nachman. Okay, in Bavel he's great, but compared to Rabbi Yochanan, That's the first part of the story. Second part of the story, Zimnan Ashkhe, there was another time, sometime later, that he, Rabbi Oishi, is visiting again with Rabbi Ami. The Yosefik Amalah, that Rabbi Ami is repeating the same Shtikul Torah of Rabbi Yochanan, but not on the Reisha, on the Seifa of the Mishnah. What's the Seifa? The next case. You didn't have a full Zayis, he only had two Chatzoy Zayis. Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, when did Rabbi Shmuel say that it's Metambe B'masa Lishonu El Paltosei Chai? That's only because a Chai left over a shtickle, therefore it has chashivus. Al potosi sakin, if the shtei chatzoi zesim, these small little pieces, if the reason why they're still attached to the or is because potosi sakin, because the flayer didn't do a good job of removing it, then it becomes bottle. So this is what Reb Oishi is overhearing, Reb Ami giving a shir to the Talmidim, and he's repeating this shtickle Torah, Rabbi Yochanan, but not on the Reisha, but on the Seifa. Now you're saying, so what difference does it make? Major difference, because the Reisha is talking about a shear of a kezayis, and that doesn't easily become bottle. According to this new, we're talking about two chatzoizes, and that makes a lot of sense that it becomes bottle, because it's not a kishir anyway. So Amaleis, and now Rabbi Oishia says to Rabami, Mar Aseifa Masnila, you learn the halach of Rabbi Yochanan on the Seifa? Yeah, sure, I'm learning on the Seifa. We have the two chatzoizes. And now he says, Nu Ve'ela, now Rabami looks incredulously to Oishia, and he says, Al Ula Aresha Amra Nilaichu. When Ula said the halacha initially, and when Rav Nachman opposed it, you're talking about a situation, he said, even on the Reisha, that it was a full Zayas, a full Kezayas, even there Rabbi Yochanan said, Paltose Sakin Bottle? Omalei En. Yeah, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Omalei says now, Reb Ami, Ho Elikim, now I swear in the name of Hashem, I Omalei Yeshua Ben Nun Mishmei, not Rabbi Yochanan. And in the word mishmei, the change on the side, mei pume, that's to make it look like the first part of the story. Remember, the first part of the story, he said that even if I heard Rabbi Yochanan mei pume, he's saying even if I would hear not Rabbi Yochanan, even Yeshua ben Nun, who was of course the Mekabel Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he would go and say that since the flayer left behind a full shear of a kezayis. And as Ula continued saying the name of Yochanan, even Ketar to even Kenafia, even if Yeshua ben Nun would say it, I would say, don't listen to him. Or at least, I wouldn't listen to him. So in other words, when Reb Ami initially was angry at Reb Nachman and said, big deal, you're a chassid of Benesia, you're a big knacker, you're mezal de shmata to Reb Yochanan, he didn't realize that Ula was saying the halacha on the Reisha. He thought it was only saying it on the Seifa. And he's saying the Seifa makes a lot of sense because it's a chutzi shir. That's why it becomes bottle. But a ganze shir. I could never say something like that. That's why Rav Nachman opposed it and says, now Rav Ami, and not only if I heard it from Rabbi Yochanan directly, if I heard it from Yeshua ben Nun directly, I would oppose it. I say, I can't live with something like that. Once it's a full shir, how can it become bottle even though it's attached to the earth? The Mefarshim asked, why does he say, I omeli Yeshua ben Nun? Why didn't he say, I omeli Moshe Rabbeinu? So they point out that in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridea, it says that anybody that questions what Moshe Rabbeinu was makabel from the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's like questioning. Exactly. It's as if he's questioning Rabbeinu Shalom himself. So therefore, that's why he doesn't want to use such a strong term. Because if he heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have to listen to it, whether you like it or not. Yeshua ben Nun, Torah b'Shemayim, Yeshua ben Nun can make a mistake, I don't follow him. And we continue on. Ki asa Ravan v'chol nechusse, or he said v'chol nechusse yama, when Ravan eventually came, together with others who were companions, the entourage, amru ha-reisha, they repeated the halacha on the reisha in the name of Ula. But we just said now, how could that be? It's a ganza kizayis velakasha. Can Amar Rav Papa be merudin? Like we'll see Rav Papa later down on the bottom of the Amid, we're talking about merudin. Hachanami be merudad. What means merudad? Rashi says dak the kolish va'orech v'rochav. You have your kizayis, but the kizayis wasn't nice. One clump of kizayis b'mokim echad. It was spread out over 5 feet. So how do you get a kezayis over 5 feet? Because it was very, very thin, very, very soft, very, very weak, long and bright and wide. So eventually when you scoop it all together, it adds up to a kezayis. However, like Rashi says, you can metaphorically have a kezayis. However, most people are going to say it's just not worth all of the effort. Right? You have the bottom of a pan, you have the bottom of a pot, you have little remnants here and there and everywhere. If you go and scoop and scrape and you put it all together, you can get to a kezayis. Most people say, come on, I'm not going to bother with it. Just put it in the sink and clean it out and forget about it. So Achan Amarudit here too, that's what our case is. When did Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan say in the Reisha that even though you had a full kezayis, it becomes bottle if it was paltosei sakin, when it was a very, very thin layer that all together added up to a kezayis and it was all connected. However, if in fact you'd have a good shtickle kezayis in one place, then even if Yeshua ben Nun would say otherwise, it does not become bottled to the art. Now we continue on. I know, Rabbi Yisrael, it's already over an hour, and there's still a lot to go, so you'll excuse me. And a lot of it is Tumah v'Tahara, but it's Nish Keferlich, it's not that difficult. Hoyu Olav, now we're talking about the Shnei Chatzoi Zeisim. And what did Rabbi Shmuel say? That if you carry the ore with the Shnei Chatzoi Zeisim, then you'll become Tamei, but not the Maga, not if you are just touching the ore, or touching the Tziv or the Sar. It's got to be that you're carrying it. Says Barpad, Lishonu Elami Achrav. That's all talking about that you didn't touch the meat, but rather you're touching the oyer, which is on the other side of the meat, which at maximum is a shoymer. Ava mufanav, what happens if you in fact went over to the other side of the oyer, where the meat is, and you touch the meat? Ava mufanav yesh nagea v'choizav nagea. Then we would add together the two chatzoi zeisim. Now, although the Lashon HaGemara sounds like that he did two separate negias, he touched one on the right hand side, and then he moved over and he touched the other one on the left hand side. From Rashi and the Mefarshim, it's mashma that he did it simultaneously, and that is perhaps with both hands, or he scrunched together the oil, and now he's touching the two together. So then, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that it's not only metamba b'mas, it's also metamba maga, because the whole heter of our Mishnah of Rabbi Shmuel, because he touched it from the outside of the art, didn't touch the meat itself, but you touched the meat itself. So this is a tremendous chiddush what Barpada is saying. Barpada is saying if you're on the other side of the ar, two chatzoi zeisim become bottle. But if you're on the side where the basar is, that doesn't become bottle. The basar is basar is basar. You touch the two chatzoi zeisim, even though you're touching them separately, simultaneously, concurrently, you become tummy. Rabbi Yochanan Omar ain't negia b'chayz v'negia, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that these two chatzoi zeisim taka are bottle mavutl. The only time that it's kezayis if they're taka merged, fused together is one. But if you have one here and one there, even though you're touching the two together at the same time, you're still tohar, even if you're touching the basa, not just the ar, even the basa. V'yaz Rabbi Yochanan tamar. Rabbi Yochanan goes to shitasai. Kiyam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, Rabbi Doisa ben Harchinas, not to be confused with Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinus. Those are two separate names. That's Horkinus with a kuf, and this is with a chav. Anyway, Rabbi Doisa ben Harchinas, Omer Dovrecha, they both said one halacha. What means they said one halacha? Rabbi Shmuel Hadiyamar. That's what Rabbi Shmuel said, that you had two chutzi shears attached to the oyer, that they are not mitzdarf. Rabbi Doisa ben Harkinas, did not. We have a Mishnah Masechtas Oy Holois. What happens if you have a Tumas Oil? We all know what Tumas Oil means, that you have, Rachman Litzlan, a dead body, dead person, inside an oil. Now what happens if you didn't have a full shear, you only had a chutzi shear? What's the minimum shear when you're talking about the flesh of an individual? Also the shear is a kezayis. So if you have a kezayis basar of a dead person inside a house, the whole house becomes tummy, Tumas Oil, and all the furnishings and all the items inside, all the furniture and the kelim and the people, everything becomes tummy to Messiah. So kol ha-metam ba-oil, anything which is metam ba-oil, such as your kizayis min ha-mes, shenechliku, that was split in half. In other words, you didn't have one full kizayis, you had two chutzi zeisim of the mes, rachmon litzlon, v'echnisa l'toich ha-bayis, and he brought them into the house, even though he brought them in simultaneously. Rabbi Doisa ben Harkinas metayr, he says, since not basar, Kazayis basam mokim echad, it's two separate, it's like two separate oyholois tohar. The chum metam. And the chum say no. Bottom line is you have one oil, one ceiling, one roof over two chutzis eisim, it's mitzarev to full kazayis. So what do I see from this Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan? Lav Rabbi Doisa ben Harkinas. Hosam in mile, v'choizam mile. You cannot go and be mitzarev to two chutzis eisim in the same oil. Hochanami in negir, v'choizam negir. You can't go mitzarev to two negirs. If they're fused together as one kezayis inside the oil, it's metame. If you have the two half a kezayis fused together on the ar, it's metame. But if you have one here and one there, it's not mitzat. So that's why the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan is l'shitosoi, that when he says over here by the Mishnah that it's not mitzat, if ain't negev, v'chayiz v'negev, that's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitosoi, that he said that Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Doisa ben Harkinas. Fine. Now the Gemara now does a bit of a leap of faith, and the Gemara is saying, if these two are the same, you would think the Bali Plukta of each one would also be the same. The Bar Plukta of Rabbi Shmuel, of course, is Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yosi ben Harkinus's Bar Plukta is the Chachamim. So Zokti Yomara, Umid the Rabbi Yosi ben Harkinus, Rabbi Shmuel, is presumably Rabbanus Rabbi Kiva. But that's wrong, because there are opposite poles for Rabbi Kiva to Huri Kametayr. Back in this Mishnah, which we just quoted, by the oil, he said if you took in two chutzi shears into the oil, the chomar metame, then it's tar for the two. In our Mishnah, not only does Rabbi Kiva argue with Rabbi Shmuel, the Gabi the Tumas Maga, even the Gabi Tumas Masa, he says that there's no Tumah whatsoever, zero. So therefore, it's really Mikotza El Hakotza. There in the two, by the oil, the two chutzi zeisim, says the Chacham, they're mitzarif, they're mitzarif, they're mitzarif. Here in Rabbi Kiva, we're talking about the two chutzi zeisim. Not only do I disagree with Rabbi Shmuel in a case when you touch the two pieces, there's not even a din of masa. This is gunish, the turi come attire. How are you going to go and make the two consistent? The Gemara could have said, what you're saying is incorrect, that Rabbi Yochanan only said that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Doisa are saying the same thing. But apparently the Gemara had some sort of mesoira that Rabbi Yochanan was telling to not only Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Doisa, but also the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva. But that's not true. And the Gemara, no. In fact, the two are consistent. Ad kamei kamtar Rabbi Akiva ele ba'or ha'ba'alma metamei. Rabbi Akiva agrees, for instance, in the case of the oil, that the two chutzi shears would be mitztaref under one oil, and I hold like the Chacham that it's tamei. Why is or different? Or is special. Kiriktani Seifa. Continue the Seifa of the Mishnah. You attach the two together with some sort of kisim, a pole of sorts. Veisitan and you moved it. Shutami. I freight the Mishnah. Neymar Rabbi Kiva Metar Ba'or. Nisha Or Mevatlin. Oh, when you have pieces of meat attached to the or is Mevatlin. What means that the or is Mevatlin? It becomes tofel to the or. You have this large piece of leather, of skin, and you have a couple of pieces, patches of meat here and there, too. Chatzoy zeisim. So people say, oh, I want to give you a present, I'm going to give you a skin, and I'm going to give you the two chatzoy zeisim. You look at them, you say, why are you even talking about the chutzi zeisim? It's like giving you a present, a pot that has some meat on the bottom. I give you the pot, and you have the meat on the bottom. That meat in the bottom is gunish. It's just good enough that I'm going to go and scrape it out and throw it out. So the point is, when it's attached to an R, the R makes it bottle to the R, and that's why it loses its chashivas. However, if you put two chatzuyis esim inside a house, they don't lose their chashivas and their mitzarif, and it becomes an oil hatame, tumas oil, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Frank Dimar, Azei, Mosim Rav Ukva Barcham. I have a pasuk. Benivlosam, it says in the pasuk called Negea Benivlosam Yitma. Where's the pasuk Aleph? Chol Hoylech Al Kapel Chol Chay Olech Esal Arba Chol Negea Benivlosam Yitma Arv. So it says Negea Benivlosam. Says the Gemara, but you have to touch the Nevela. V'loy Ba'or Sheyesh Olav Beis Chatzoy Zeisim. Not if you're talking about an or that has two Chatzoy Zeisim, then you do not become Tamei. Only you touch the Nevela itself, not the or that has the two Chutzi Zeisim. I would think the same thing applies to Masa, that if it only has two Chatzoy Zeisim, it does not become Tomei, it's not Metamei. Tameloi Mevanoisei Yitma. This is another Pasik, and in fact, this Pasik is V'chiyomis Menevemishim Mechamachan, the Yemen of Lasa. Okay, you have, he brings two separate Psukim. I don't know if you have the two separate Psukim, but in Vayikra Yud Aleph Chav Zayin, that was Ois Aleph, and if you go to Beis, that's Yud Aleph Chof Ches. It's one pasuk right after the previous one. So the previous one is talking about Negea, the Nevlosam, and the second one is Ha Noiseh Nevlosam. So Dr. Moir, Tamaloi Va Noiseh, Yitma, Dib Rabbi Shmuel. So what Rabbi Shmuel is saying is that since the first pasuk says Negea, Benevlosam, Yitma, you're only Tamei by Maga if you're touching the Nevela, not if you're touching the Oir. And therefore, if the Oir has on it the two Chatzoy Zeisim, you're still tahar. The basar becomes bottle. Masha Engel, if you talk about masa, the next basar, he said, Hanoisi Yitma, doesn't say, Hanoisi is Nevlasa. It says, Negea, well, here it says, also Negea Nevlasa. No, it doesn't say Negea. I'm sorry. Banoisias nevlasim yichabis begadav, and tmei miitma v'tomi yadar, etc. Anyway, you have another pasuk yiralef from them. There are multiple psukim over here. So, bottom line is, the noisi is yitma div Rabbi Shmuel. That's how we dash into psukim. Negev nevlasim tu chatzoy zeisim, you're tohar. Masa noisi, you're tomei div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, hanegev hanoisi, so now, we didn't have this dialogue in the Mishnah, but this is a dialogue in the Braisa, where each one is explaining their positions. Rabbi Shmuel says, Negiah, Mag, and Masa, two separate halachas. Here, the Torah focuses on Benivlasa, and that's why Maga, your Tohoi. However, Masa, Anoisi Yidma, your Tame. That's what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Kiva said, since the two psukim are back to back, Negev and Noisei, one pasuk is the Yikra Yir Aleph Chav Zayin, the next one is the Yikra Yir Aleph Chav Ches. Therefore, the same halach applies to both. Eshe Balachlal Maga, Balachlal Masa. Le Balachlal Maga, Le Balachlal Masa. Therefore, in our Mishnah, how could you, Rabbi Shmuel, say that there's a Tumah of Tumas Masa and no Maga if Le Balachlal Maga, Le Balachlal Masa? You know, it's either both or nothing. No halfways.
So,
this is Rabbi Kiva addressing Rabbi Shmuel. You're coming out fuzzy. I don't understand a word you're saying. This is a Braisa which is explaining the respective positions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel said, you're matam b'mamasa and not b'mamasa. Do you agree? Do you agree? Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says, no, one is dependent on the other. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel, I respectfully disagree with you. If there's no Tumas Maga, there's no din of Tumas Masa. Frank Dimar, if you're going to hold like Bar Pada, who's Bar Pada? Go all the way to the top of the Amid. Amid Bar Pada, Loishanu Ela Me'achrav. Amelchonav Yesh Nagea, V'choizu Nagea. Wow. I don't know if you hear this on the Zoom, but it's pouring here, pouring cats and dogs. That's why you hardly can hear my voice probably. Anyway, Dr. Mara, Din Isa, if you're going to go and tell me, like Barpada, that what? What did Barpada say? Barpada said at the top of the Amid, when is there no Maga? That's only Me'achra. But no fun of Yesh Noigea. Rabbi Shmuel should respond to Rabbi Kiva, I don't understand your kasha. It is Balichlal Maga. What Maga? Maga Mufana. So that's why it's Balichlal Masa. Amarabba, Achikama. What Raisa meant to say in the name of Rabbi Kiva, Eshe Balichlal Maga Bechol Sad Balichlal Masa. He didn't mean to say that there is a chatimta of Maga somehow. He's saying it has to be Maga from all directions, from all sides. So if it's only Maga Mufanav, it's not enough. It's got to be that there's a Tumas Maga Mufanav and there's Tumas Maga Mil Akhra. Otherwise, there's no din of Tumas Masa. So with this, we have to end for the Kasha on Bar Pata. By Menei Rav Avya Saba Mirab Barafuna, Kulyas Tuma L'Rabbi Shmuel Mahu Shetetame. What happens if you have a Kulyas Tuma? We already had a Kulyas a couple of times in the last few days. A Kulyas is the upper thigh bone, which has in it a lot of marrow. And therefore the bone is considered to be a Yad and a Shoimer for the marrow inside the Kulyas. So now, what would Rabbi Shmuel say the Gabi the Din of Tumas Masa? You cannot touch the marrow because the marrow is enclosed, embedded inside the kulyas. But what happens if I'm carrying that kulyas? Would Rabbi Shmuel say that you're Mutamid the Masa? Islay the Rabbi Shmuel Eshibalakhlam Maga, Balakhlam Masa, Lay Balakhlam Maga, Lay Balakhlam Masa? Does he agree in concept with what Rabbi Akiva said, "B'ha'cha hayne tama." What's the reason why in our Mishnah he holds his masa? Mishum de balechlal maga melefana. Although you don't have maga from all sides, but at least you have maga on one side. So since it's baruch lal maga, it's baruch lal masa. Or you do molest, maybe he doesn't hold of this whole business, matama maga, matama masa. What difference does it make? The difference it makes is the gabi are kulias. Because in the case of the kulias, he's not able to do a maga on any side. Not from the back, not from the front, not from the top, not from the bottom, because the ochel is embedded inside the kulias. So the question is, would there be a din of tumas maska or not? This was the question that was posed by Rabbi Barahuna. Omalei, instead of answering him, he said, Orva Parah, look up in the sky. You see that beautiful raven? Isn't it flying so nicely, so gently? Basically, he ignored him and he changed the subject. Omalei Rabbi Barai. The Rabbi said to his father, I don't understand you, Tati. Balav Einar of Abiyas Sabam from the Pisa. Isn't the Shoel, the one that asked you the question, the famous of Abiyas Saba, the Meshabeach Ron Marbi Gabei de Gaber Rabu? You always tell us what a chashuv, a great Talmud Chacham he is. So why did you blow him off by saying, look up in the sky, look at the bird? Why didn't you answer the question? Amaleis, he told him, Ani Hayoin, Samchuni de Ashishas. The reason is because I'm very, very tired. I'm exhausted. And I need Samchuni to support myself by shisha. So shisha means with drinking some wine. In other words, I'm totally oskematic, oskehingered. I'm so tired. I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. I wasn't be able to go and answer. Why was he so exhausted? Says Rashi, because this took place on the Shabbos, the regel, Shabbos when everybody gets together at the time of the regalit, to hear the drushes and the shiurim from the great sages, the great scholars. And I gave today a drusha, a langa drusha, and the microphone was not working. My amoira apparently wasn't there, and I had to scream at the top of my lungs for an hour or two, and I have no koyach. He's not asking a simple question, what bracha do you make on an apple? That I could have answered it. But to go and start now, what does Rabbi Yishmael hold by Maga and Masa? Does he hold the din that really it has to be both Maga and Masa? And the Kulias, you don't have Maga, so there's no Masa. I wasn't able to address that. That required much more time and effort and energy, which I just didn't have. Amr Ula. Shnei Chatzoy Zesim Shetachlan B'Kisei. This is the same halacha that we had in the Mishnah. And now Ula is saying it on its own. You have these two chatzoy zeitzim. You connected it with a kisen, with a small piece of wood. Even if you pick it up and down, and you do agba galila calisthenics, it makes no difference. You're tahar. My time. What's the reason of ula? Said the nasa. Actually, not the nasa. The noisei. The karina. I'm sorry. The nasa. The karina noisei. The ina noisei. The who? The nisa. The basa. What does Igmar mean to say? In the pasuk that we quoted before, Anoisei Esnev Lassam, that word Noisei is spelled without a vav. It's spelled Nun Sin Aleph. So if you didn't know that it was Noisei, you could read it Nisa. What's the difference between Noisei and Nisa? Noisei is the Gabra, Nisa is the Chefza. Noisei is the person who's carrying. Nisa, you're referring to that is being carried. By the fact that the Torah writes it in such a way that you could read it both ways, Noise and Nisa, it's got to be Noise Dumya Denisa, Vahu Denisa Mubasachas. The only time you're chayiv on Noise, Minav Lasam, if it's Mubasachas, that you can put it in your hand together, it's Nisa, not that it's Shnei Chatzoi Zeisim. And even though you try to fuse these two, by connecting them with the kisein, Lamaisa, he didn't push the two together, but the two ends of the kisein, they still have an inch, 2 inches, 5 inches between them, so it's not nisa babas achas, and therefore there's no din of noisei, and you are tohar. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah. Tanan, How you olaf shnei chatzoy zaysi? Now we're talking about on the oil. With Rebbe Akiva and the Mishnah, right?
How can Ula argue with Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Yishmael? They both say Tamei, Rebbe...
Guess what? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Let's look at the Kasha. What you're asking is what the Gemara asks. Tanan, we go back to our Mishnah. Ho you olav shnei chatzoi zesim on the oir. Metam b'masa b'leim b'maga de Rebbe Yishmael. According to Ra'ula, every time a noise is only Tamei if it's also Nisa, which means Babas Achas in one hand, he's holding on to the whole thing. Here he's not holding it in one hand, it's connected to this large, large oil. It's not Nisa, it's a noise, but not a Nisa. That being the case, is Ula arguing on the Tana, the famous Rabbi Yishmael? Amra Papa, like we have the top of the Omid, the Merudad. We're not talking about that the Kazayas was all together in one hand, but rather it was stretched out over the oir in little, it means it was all connected, but it was a very, very thin layer of that Kazayas. That's when Rabbi Yishmael holds that it's Matame Benisa, no, I'm sorry, Benoise. Even though we said V'halav Nisahu, it's two separate Chazoy Zaysim, but they were connected by this thin layer of meat which was lying in between those two chatzoy zaysim. It was one chutzi zayis here, one chutzi zayis there, but it wasn't that there was skin in between. On top of the skin there was a very thin layer of meat connecting the two chatzoy zaysim. So therefore even Ula would agree, it's Nisa, it's all connected as one kizayis. That's why Rabbi Shmuel holds that Metama b'masa. Toshima, Moir Rabbi Akiva b'shnei chatzoi zesim. That's our case. Tachum b'kisa. Mamish the case of Ula. Ula seems to be arguing, as Barry said, with our Mishnah. Ula zechana moira. Vesita chu tamei. Amai v'alav nisu. We're talking mamish the exact same case as Ula. Ula said shnei chatzoi zesim shetachum b'kisa. Our Mishnah is talking about shnei chatzoi zesim shetachum b'kisa. Ula says that it's tar, and Rabbi Akiva says on a Mishnah that it's tamei. How does Ula argue with Rabbi Akiva? The case of our Mishnah is talking about that there was a connection, after all, of meat going from one chutzi zayis to the other chutzi zayis. In addition to that merudad, you also have the kisim. It's all connected together. So therefore, even Ula would agree it's nisa because of the fact that it's connected. Ula is talking about the fact that there was no connection, only the kisim connection, but not the basar merudad connection. Says Yigmar, this halach of Ula is ketanoi, it's machloik is tanoim, echad negev, the echad hamasit, then the case where you're taking the kezayis, which is mechuber, through such a kisei, whether you are touching it, whether you're carrying it, says the Tanakama, you're going to be chayv. You know, the nachayv, you're going to be tamei. Rabbi Elazar oim afanoise, even the one that's carrying it. Now, Freik Timara, the Tanakama already said, echad negev, the echad hamasit. Now, maset literally does not mean to carry. Maset means to move. But the Gemara considers maset to be basically synonymous with noise, because if you're moving it, that means you carried it. Maybe you didn't pick it up with your hands, but you moved it. So the Gemara, ata noise la masetu, aren't they both basically the same? So what means to bless afa noise? Elav ochi ka'amai, echan anegeh, v'yechan amaset, beloi nisa, that noyea and maset could be Tomei, even without Nisa being connected together. The Yasser Blazer Lameimer, no! Vahuda Nisa! That's the Machloikis. The Tanakhama does not require the Nisa of Ula. He doesn't darshan Noise Dumi Denisa. Reb Blazer says, no! I do darshan. But he doesn't say Vahuda Nisa. He says, Afa Noise. Frey Timura, Umay Af. Ema Vahuda Nisa. You have to take a change the Lashon. And therefore the Tanakhama said, you don't need Nisa whatsoever. As long as you're Maga or you're Masa, you're going to become Tameh. Says Ula Ula, and says Reb Lezer, no, it's got to be Vahud and Nisa. If they're merged together as one, you're holding it in your hand, then Avadi, you're going to become Tameh. But if they are still not miles apart, but inches apart, because it's connected with Kisem, then the person will be Tahor. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai, and let's see you all tomorrow.